Okay, first of all, I'm just going to start with a bit of an apology. For the next few days, I'm going to be, my attendance is going to be a little spotty. And while I'm here, I might be hiding a little just because I'm making a chasna of my oldest on Wednesday. And in addition to all the regular, not being here because there are some regular things I have to prepare. And because you have to prepare more if you're doing it in the backyard than if you have a hall. I'm trying to avoid being too close to people because I don't want to go to be dud if someone has corona. So I would ask you all to just bear with me. Certainly feel free to come if you have questions, but stand 2 meters away until things return back to normal. And then I'll be able to mingle a little more freely. And not have to miss any time. But, okay, with that apology, we will go straight to the Shulchan Aruch. We were in the middle of Sif Beis. Remember, I'm just going to pick up from where we left off. We had seen the Oles Stira between the Torah here and the Torah there as to whether if you put your kosher food on a treif kli, it would need Hadacha, in which case you shouldn't do it l'chachila because you might forget to rinse it afterwards. Or if you put your kosher food cold on a tray for chametz tikli, it's no problem whatsoever. And we saw all the different answers. And in the end, we paskin like the shach. We say we hold like the shach, who says that it's just the difference between a clean kli and a dirty kli, which is probably what we all would have said if we hadn't learned this at all. If someone had just asked us what's the rule, that you know, going to the stira between Hilchos Pesach and Torah quoting the Orchas Chaim in Orchas Chaim, and the Torah quoting the Baal Itter and the Mechaber as well. Here, what did the Shach say? Says the Shach says no problem. If it's a clean clean, then it's mutter, no problem. If I take my kosher food and I eat it in a clean tray, clean, no problem whatsoever. If it is a dirty clean, or let me say this a little better, not clean and dirty as in with vados, you know it has dirt, I would say if you cleaned the clean, then it's mutter. If you didn't, then it's usher, and this is what Yoredeya Sadi Aleph Sif Beis is talking about, and this is what they're talking about in Orchayim Hilchos Chametz, and there's no problem whatsoever. If you clean the kli, then it's clean. Obviously, you can put hot food there, but how would a clean kli infect cold food? If you put cold food in a cold kli and it's clean, then there's no transfer of plios. The Bala Itter here, and the Mechaber here, is talking about a dirty kli. Not that you know it's dirty. If you know it's dirty, that's pashut. Meaning you didn't clean it. If you didn't clean it, we are choshesh, we assume that it's dirty. If you didn't clean the treif kli, you just took a treif kli, in the old days, not everything was always clean, and you put your food in it, then you need to rinse your food in afterwards, not to the pliya, because the schmutz gets on your food. And therefore, you shouldn't put your food in the treif kli in the first place, because you might forget to rinse it, unless it's the kind of thing you always rinse anyway, right? That's where we left off. But I want to point out, those of you on the Makor sheet, I apologize. I think I didn't make enough because I wasn't thinking about like losing track of them over Venus Manim, which is, of course, natural. The Shulchan Aruch, Tzimu Kovchav Aleph, said, hey, the Ramah there, Paskin's like the Shach. Even though the Ramah here doesn't say like the Shach, but the Ramah in Tzimu Kovchav Aleph said, Mephorish like the Shach. I'll read you the Ramah in Kovchav Aleph. Shulchan Aruch Kovchav Aleph, hey, says, Avol Motor Lishtamish Beltzonei Afil Chachila, if you have a Kli that wasn't kosher properly, you're allowed to use a Ratzon to cold even Chachila. Why washing it and scrubbing it well? Because they include Sar Hagola, a Kli that needs Liban, you didn't do Liban. Certainly, if it only needs Hagola, but it doesn't matter. If it needs any kind of kashering, you didn't kasher it, it's fine to use for cold. Okay, here there's a slight difference in the Shach. And so the Shach plus the Ramah in Kof Chaf Aleph Sif Hey. What's the slight difference? The Shach here is Tumeko. All the later Achrim don't like the Shach. The Shach here in this long Shach, Sukkot and Gimel, says a few times, Shekinuach Yafu B'chobakim Kadocha. Wiping it is like washing it. And therefore, the Rali of Zakinuach. What does the Shach say? The Shach says what's called clean. What's the definition of cleaned? Says the Shach Kinuach. Kinuach means wiping it. Basically, you take a shmata and you wipe the plate, that's good enough. The Achronim don't like that so much. The Lashon of the Ramah that I just read to you, some Kuf Kuf Al, that some of you have in front of you, is Al Yedei Hadocha V'Shif Shof Hetev. That's got to be more than Kinuach. Says the Ramah, Hadocha V'Shif Shof Hetev. Hadocha V'Shif Shof Hetev is what we call dishwashing. Not what D.R.D. calls dishwashing. Anyone's heard of that book anymore? Right? No, like regular people call dishwashing. Right? You wash it with water and you scrub it well with the sponge. So, if you wash the dishes properly, which is the normal assumption of the Derech HaOlam in most places in the modern day world, you know, you go to a standard trade restaurant, we assume that they wash the dishes properly. You go to a standard, I mean, it's less likely it is. But it could be. You go to a visiting trade restaurant, you want to eat, you know, something kosher off of their plates, or you go to someone's house that's not kosher. We assume most people wash their dishes with sponges normally nowadays. Even the restaurants, you know, they have these high-powered, you know, washing machines that do the job. We paskin like the Rabbah that you need hadacha v'shif shif heitev, not like the Shafir, who's very makel. Okay, but I think the last thing I said last time, I may have said it a little quickly. I don't remember how quickly I said the last sentence before Binas Manim, was now this creates a tricky question on the Ramah himself. How come if the Ramah in Siman Kof Chaf Aleph agrees with the Shach's Pshat, right, then why does the Ramah give a different answer here? I mean, the steer was, how come in one place in Or Chaim the Torah says it's okay, and here the Torah says it's not okay? So the Ramah, if the Ramah knows that once you wash it well, it's okay, his answer is obvious. There's when you wash it well, here's when you didn't wash it well. So why didn't the Ramah give the Shach's answer? If he agrees with it in Siman Kof Chaf Aleph. You know, until now, you know, if we didn't know Divrei Torah, Niyah B'Makom Echad, Ashir B'Makom Achir, we would have thought he just disagrees with the Shach, and he's just super-duper machmir. And we would say, why is he so machmir? What could possibly be wrong with a sparkly, clean plate and cold food? Huh? Who knows? He must have a chomer. But now we know he agrees. So I haven't seen people deal with this. La'aniyah's Daiti, it seems to me the Ramah here is not like everyone thinks being more machmir than the Shach. I think the Ramah is being more makel than the Shach. What's the Ramah saying? He's saying, even in a dirty kli, even if you didn't wash the kli, it's mutter if it's a davar yovish mamish and labola kli rak bitsone. That's what I would think is pshat in the Ramah here. That the Ramah here of Thurus is obviously a clean kli is okay. But what I'm coming to point out in Sadi Aleph Sif Bey is that even if you didn't wash the kli, if you're putting in dry food and the kli was used cold, then it's okay anyway. And he's really giving a cool a little more than the Shach. The Shach says the only cool is if you wash the plate. Saying even if you didn't wash the plate on Makel, if you have these two other tzadim lahakel. That's what I think. The Ramah is being more Makel than the Shach, not more Mashmah than the Shach. Okay, but whether you think I'm right in the Ramah or not, it doesn't matter. Because the Achronim don't pass like this Ramah, they pass like the Shach. So we pass like the Shach. The only difference is clean, a washed kli or an unwashed kli. And we pass in like the Ramon Kof Chaf Aleph that you need to wash it, not just to wash it, to wipe it with a rag, right? Even though, you know, if you told this to your grandmother, you're allowed to eat on a treif kli. You know, as long as it's cold, she might get very upset at you and said, what are you, a reform rabbi, right? Is everything they told me about why you true, etc. But that's the halacha, right? Which is a famous rub story. Which goes, okay, I have a friend who's more into history of stories and narrative and law and all kinds of other fancy things, who did a little research project on the fact that this Rav story is parallel to a modern Diskin story, and, you know, how that worked out, etc. Was the characters in one story making a literary illusion? Was one story made up, etc.? Most likely, the characters in the Rav story were making a literary illusion to the modern Diskin story. Oh, the Marvel Diskins. Okay, Anyway, the rough story is that once his wife found him eating ice cream off the Fleischig china, and she said to him, "Don't you know that's treif?" The rough says, "No, not to worry. According to the Shulchan Aruch, meaning Kufzim Kufchav Aleph, it's mutter." And she said to him, "Between you and your Shulchan Aruch, it's treif up my kitchen." Yes. I thought it was a Merle Diskin. I heard it as Merle Diskin. That if you, okay, since we're a bit of a literary yeshiva, we may never get to the second Mishnah. But if we get to the second Mishnah, we would see that it says, we don't worry that an animal brought chametz from one place to another. Like you clean one room, yeah, and you don't clean the other room, you have to worry mouse brought it back and forth. Merle Diskin's wife, they used to have cats in the old days to get rid of mice, not as pets. She was very machbid from when she started cleaning for Pesach, which I assume was, you know, Rav Purim. When the cat came into the house, she would put socks on the cat and take them off when the cat left the house, so that he wouldn't track chametz from outside the house into the house while she was doing Pesach cleaning. And my oldest can explain to her that, you know, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you don't have to worry about the cat bringing chametz in. And she said to him, between you and your Shulchan Aruch, we'll be eating chametz on Pesach. Okay, so that is regardless of the relation between the stories, it definitely says something about the difference, at least once upon a time, between the yeshivish halachic tradition and the Torah Simecha lifestyle. But in any case, it's still true kashrus-wise. I think in most kitchens, people are machmer not only on things that are explicit in the Shulchan Aruch, but just keep everything meat and milk separate. I think it's generally a good idea, even if it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. But halach l'maisa, you are allowed to eat cold food, milchik on fleishik, fleishik on milchik, kosher on treif, etc. However, there are exceptions. The Shachir mentions two exceptions. Which two exceptions does he mention? At the very end, he mentions an exception, which is also Shavar Kuf Chav Aleph. What does our Ramah say in Kuf Chav Aleph? He says that Davka b'derech ha'chum b'dievet, like if you're in a goy's house or you're stuck. But if you want to do it all the time as a regular part of your lifestyle, not just you're in a weird situation, but then there are some more machmir and say if you want that even for cold, if you do mikvios, it needs to be kashrut. Mordechai, etc. V'hachi Nogin says this, and that's what the Shach says at the end of this. Says the Shach, when he calls it derech arai, aval bimbolish tamishim derech keva, filut sonin, also xerishim shtamishim v'chamin, koshkaz v'rab, agosim, kofchaval of sif, hey. Right, so one of the two exceptions, to the heter are one, kvius, keva. And what's the reason? The reason is shema yishtamesh bo bechamin. After all, if I say every morning I'm going to have my Cheerios and milk in the Fleischig bowls. Then you know, if I do that all the time, eventually I'm going to mess up and forget the difference between milk and Fleischig dishes, and I'm going to eat my hot milchig soup in the Fleischig bowls, or you know, whatever hot milchig food we can imagine. I'm going to eat my hot oatmeal with milk in the Fleischig bowls, and then obviously there'll be treif. So therefore, we could be us no, but Ba'arai, once in a while, you'll still remember that this is not how you're normally supposed to, this is not how you're normally supposed to eat. So if it's a unique situation where you're stuck and you don't have access to the right kind of kalim, that's Arai, and that's okay. Like, for example, if you're visiting someone's house who's not Jewish or not from, right? If you're at your non-Jewish or non-from friends or relatives' house, and obviously, you know you're eating some sort of kosher food, right? Some, I don't know, you're opening a can of tuna fish and, you know, eating it, with whatever old things you have, ashkach, etc. It's no problem to eat it on their plates, or you're having milk and Cheerios at your non-from cousin's house. No problem to eat it on their plates, because that's obviously their right, it's in someone else's house. And that's also why, when I was a kid, there was some real, really treif restaurant where the ice cream was kosher. Friendlies. Is the ice cream still kosher?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. The ice cream in Friendlies, so you could go get ice cream in Friendlies. But do you have to ask for a paper cup for the ice cream? I mean, you do if you want to take it elsewhere. But no, you could eat the ice cream even in the friendlies, you know, with a friendly spoon, metal spoon, and the friendlies, whatever kind of kli they serve ice cream in, because that's b'derech harai, and that is okay based on the shach, as long as it's not b'kfius. That does not make any difference to l'chachila. That's only b'diyavad. Does friendlies have an issue? I mean, obviously, eating cereal milk in your non from cousin's house doesn't marsai, and you know, no one. No, I don't think it's Maris Ayin. If you're eating cereal milk in your Fleishik China, let's say, I don't know, you can't find your milk and bowls, right? So you don't have milk and bowls, so you're eating your Fleishik China. That's not Maris Ayin, because Maris Ayin means someone would think you're doing something else. Or here, why would someone think you're doing something else? Or like, they don't think Cheerios are hot. Why would anyone eat hot Cheerios, right? And if you say, maybe someone thinks you're doing an Avera because they don't know the Halacha, so Moshe has a tshuva where he says, that's not Maris Ayin. If someone thinks you're doing something mutter, they just think it's usher because they don't know halacha, that's a maris ayin. Maris ayin is not a thing you can mistake in halacha. Maris ayin is they make a mistake in the facts, right? You are leading your cow with the bell on Shabbos and they think you're taking your cow to the fair to sell him. They're making a mistake about the facts. That is maris ayin. You know, but if you, I don't know, you... You have a bowl of Cheerios in the Fleishik China, and that's Hakam Mutter, and someone just thinks it's us, so that's Amar Zayin. The famous Chuva Moshe is he used to drive to Shul, I guess when he was older, it was hard to work, during the 18 minutes. And someone wrote to him and says, you know, it's Amar Zayin, because people think you're a Chal Shabbos. And okay, so his sheet was the 18 minutes, was only binding on the women, not the men. Says, what's the Amar Zayin? They think I'm driving 10 minutes before Shkia, and I am driving 10 minutes before Shkia. They just think it's usher. That's called Amarat. So it's not my fault they think it's usher. So he said, totally mutter. He says, but since I don't like to be makel for myself, I'll start walking to shul from now on. Okay, because that was Ramosha, because he was a big tzaddik, but that's not halacha. That's just the Ramosha. What?
Do you need a dairy sponge to clean meat plates?
Do you need a dairy sponge to clean meat plates? Well,
can you?
Obviously. So usually we wash dishes in hot water. So once it's hot water, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about cold. Once it's hot water, there's bleos. That's a significant problem. Let's say you're washing cold water. So I think the same would apply. You know, I can't promise, not the exact case, but I would think the same would apply that arai, you can wash your dairy sponge meat dishes in cold water, but not big theos. Even though it's not the exact case here, but I think it would be a good sushnel extrapolation. It would be a good extrapolation. So I'd say the arai motor, because the elsewhere is arai. You can't find the fleshic sponge. Okay, that's arai. You say I'm only going to have one sponge. That is big fierce. There's an, yeah.
I didn't mention last time, because I saw the restaurant big company, the dishwasher are still right up from like the dishwasher or the wash.
Wet is not the problem, meaning they have many cycles and eventually becomes just pure water. The question, if the dish is hot from the dishwasher, that could be a problem. I don't know how common it is that they use dishes that are hot from the dishwasher in restaurants. That's only for hot dishes. Yeah. No one heats the plates to serve your ice cream. That would be silly, right? So a fancy restaurant caterer that heat the plates for hot dishes, that's irrelevant. They only heat the plates for hot dishes. They would never heat the plate to serve you salad. That would be stupid. They would never heat the plate to serve you something cold. That would be just not there for the other. The question is, might it be hot from the dishwasher? I think it's not shtiyah, but the plate is hot from the dishwasher. No, if one thing is hot and the other one is cold, it could still be a problem, as we'll see soon. I think so. I know Ray Willick has some Hebrew Devarim about this, but okay, we'll get to it.
The plate would have to be
Yad Tzolot Esbot to be considered hot. At least B'dieved, L'chathilo or Machmir, perhaps even if it's less than Yad Tzolot Esbot, we'll have to see. Actually, in this case, probably not. Yeah, it would have to be Yatza lettuce bowl, which, again, is unlikely. Yes, theoretically, within a very short time, something out of the dishwasher could be Yatza, but it's not realistic. Yeah, not really. Okay, the last, in the shach, the second class, he makes another exception. His other exception, this long shach, is Klicheres Shiny. Who says Klicheres Shiny? The Torah and the Mechaber don't think Klicheres Shiny. The Shimon Kof Chaval doesn't say anything about Kli Cheres Shiny. He says the Torah, the Mechaber, and Rechaim don't think that Kli Cheres Shiny, but he thinks that some Rishonim think Kli Cheres Shiny. Now here it's a little tricky because some of these Rishonim say Kli Cheres is the only thing that's Asur B'Kvius. But he wants to say Kli Cheres Shiny, what he's generally understood to mean is, because then he says, dot, 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 calls over there, haray. I'm not understood. What he is saying is that Kli Cheres Shiny, there, haray. Here it's a little tricky. He quotes a lot of Rishonim that Kli Cheres Shiny. Most of them only say B'Kvius. And he got answered all Kelim B'Kvius. But says the Shach at least, this is the Ramah, Kof Chaf Aleph Hey, and the Shach here, says the Shach, Kli Cheres Afilu Ba'aray. Okay, it's not so clear that any Rishonim held that, because the Rishonim Asher Kli Cheres might have only asked to B'Kvius, although the Rosh Bataka would have asked to B'Aray, actually. But now we have to figure out, why is Kli Cheres Shiny? Why is Kli Cheres worse? I don't think he says here explicitly why Kli Cheres is worse. Why is Kli Cheres Asher Even B'Aray? We pass like the Shach. Kli Cheres is Asher Even B'Aray. The question is why? Anyone want to suggest why Kli Cheres would be Asher Even Cold Even B'Aray? That is what the Rashba himself says. Okay, I don't have the Lashon of the Rashba. Oh, I do have the Rashba here in the sheet. Sorry. Says the Rashba, I apologize, there's no sheet. V'hai pincha tovali Rav Ami. It all starts with Rav Ami had a certain kli that became treif and he broke it. And the question everyone asks is, why didn't he use it for cold? Okay, I mean, he could have said just stam, he wasn't in the mood, whatever. But, you know, I guess in those days people weren't so rich. Like, why wouldn't you use something? Why would you throw something, not like nowadays, why would you break something and throw it out if you could find a use for it? So, Avagab, the Chazir Shemesh, it's only even if you use a cold. Mishum Gzeira Das, the Shemesh, the Rechad, and the like, maybe a Gzeira, like we said, because if you use for a cold, you might use a Rechad. Rechad, there's a Pesad, the Rechad, the Psach, and Shaveiru. The Avagab, the Shemesh, it's only El Mishum Chak. The Tated, I look, Liam, Lodachim, Yavsagi, Leofilos, Tapar. Okay, Vinami. Binami, Ef Shalomer Dai Pincha, came and shall cheres haisa, maybe because it was cheres, benivla al de roteach, and it absorbed through heat. Ein la takana filo bitzone, you can't use it even for cold, and he's not mechalkin a rayin keva. Why? Devolasi harbe, because you know cheres bolea so much, you have no idea how much cheres bolea, because you've never seen a kli cheres in your life. All our dishes are kli cheres, halachically, the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, we'll see that all our dishes are considered kli cheres halachically, because they're cheres under the little layer of glass. But they don't really act like Kli Cheres. That's just because we paskin very much the Chumrah. But real Kli Cheres is so porous that you can basically never clean it. It's just unhygienic. Like, no one would ever use a Kli Cheres nowadays because it's impossible to clean and you will get bacteria, et cetera, et cetera. What's the only thing we use Kli Cheres for nowadays? Anyone ever use a Kli Cheres? No, you won't. I don't know, you're the one who has British in-laws, not me.
So. No, that's probably you. I mean,
oh, yeah? Kli Cheres that is not glazed?
Yeah.
Like pure, okay. Could be. I've only seen it used for flower pots. You know, a lot of flower pots are just pure Kli Cheres. Why? Because they don't feel very hygienic. What?
Maybe it's the pot. Sorry, that was a joke.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, anyway. So what does he say here? It's bolea so much that it's polyim bitzone. And therefore, anything you put in would have to be rinsed. And since you might forget to rinse it, etc., etc., etc. So what does he say? Cheres bolea so much, and this is really true. Cheres bolea so much, even if you scrub it with soap, you can't clean it because like it gets into the pores and like you can't get it out. It just comes out little by little all the time. So one answer is why. So says the Rashba, because it's olea kolkach shepolet afilu bitzone. However, the Prima Gadamir says something different. Prima Gadamir has a chronim on his side. I just don't love the Svara, personally. You'll tell me. The Prima Gadamir right here on this shach says right here, he says, no, says the Prima Gadamir, shema yishtamesh bo bechamin. Oh, don't we know Shem Yishtam Shem Bechamin is only Xero B'Kvias, by Rai? What do you mean Shem Yishtam Bechamin? So here he says, no. By metal, Kalim, where only goes your bikvias. Because by rye, we don't think you'll use it for hot. Why? Because if you want to use it for hot, you could always kosher it. And if you don't kosher it, remember not to use it for hot. But since cheres is not kosherable, we're more afraid you'll use it for hot. It's a chedesh. Since you can't kosher it, there's more of a chash you might forget and use it for hot. Because if you really like it, you still can't kosher it. Now again, it's still by rye. It's still fine.
The gazru bo, afilu by rye, kevan df shart lehashiro.
Okay, that's the prima gadim right here. The prima gadim says there's many nafkaminas between his pshat and the other possibility. You know, he doesn't even really bring up the other possibility a lot. He just says, like, oh, the nafkaminas of my pshat are, and he obviously knows what the other option would be. What nafkaminas pshat, what about other things you can't kosher? There are a lot of things you can't kosher, right? So, for example, ivory you can't kosher just because it'll break, it'll melt, right? So there are a lot of things you can't kosher. There are a lot of things that we have that you can't kosher. There are a lot of things in our kitchen that just, if you try to kosher them, they break. Right? For example, wood that needs libum. Anyone know what happens if you do libum to wood?
Fire.
It burns, right? You do libum to wood and it just combusts, right? So you can't kosher. Any wood that needs libum, you can't kosher. Libum means like blowtorch, etc. Obviously, you can't blowtorch wood. I mean, you can. You'll just get charcoal. So that's main nafkamina. His main nafkamina is, according to his pshat, anything that's not kashrut, not only cheres. Obviously, when the ras pshat, only cheres. I think there's another nafkamina, which is, what about modern day dishes? Modern day dishes, we're machmir to say they're not kashrutable. Everyone knows that you can't kasher our dishes, right? They're made of cheres on the inside, right? Thank you. I mean, except for Rabadi. Everyone else knows that you can't kosher modern-day dishes. Even Rabadi knows you can't kosher dishes. He just has other svaras to be made on. But what's a nafkamina? The nafkamina is what we call china, which is glazed china, right? Glazed china. All of our china is glazed, or else it would not be fit for anyone who already left the cave. So what about our glazed china? So if the svar was like the Rashba, then it should be mutter ba'arai. Because after all, our glazed china is actually super duper hygienic and is bolea very little. At the very least, now, okay, maybe bichosheshe, it is bolea a little, but for sure, our glazed china, if you wash it with a sponge and soap, it's sparkling clean and it doesn't get your food dirty. But if you say that you can't kosher it, then we can't kosher our glazed china. Lamaisa, we don't kosher it. No, don't give me any lumbus. Lamaisa, you can't kosher it. So if you can't kosher it, then there's no other option, and you might make a mistake. So it would be usher even ba'arai. Even though the Badei Shulchan and others go with the Prima Gadim and want to usher it, I think the Minhag Olam is clearly not that way. The Minhag Olam is that if you go to your non-from cousin's house, you eat cold from the plates. So I think the Minhag Olam here is not like the Prima Gadim. I think the Minhag Olam here is not like the Prima Gadim. And that it's enough to have this chumra of kli cheres ba'arai, which the machaber doesn't hold from, the Torah doesn't hold from, the shach admitted. So we'll admit to the shach, there's a chumra of cheres even ba'arai. And no rishon clearly said what the Prima Gadim said, at least. But if you're going to be machmer on cheres ba'arai, it's enough to be machmer for the Rashi's shach, which makes a lot of sense. Nah, you don't have to be machmer for the Prima Gadim's shach, which is very dachuk. And therefore, it would only apply to kli cheres that only people in the Far East were very machbid use. And therefore, the mice, this chumra of kli cheres, wouldn't apply to us because we don't have the disgusting kind of kli cheres anymore, hopefully. And therefore, I think halacha l'maaseh, even though this is against the Prima Gadim, and even though some of the modern-day svarim quote the Prima Gadim, I think the Minhag Olam is not like that, and really we can be makel and eat ba'arai off treif kli cheres. Okay, great. That's about it for Seth Bayes. After his premix, the sheet of the Rebbe is on something kasherable, only if you use it bikvias or gozer that you might make a mistake. But on something not kasherable, even ba'arai or gozer, you might make a mistake. Which is a chiddush. I mean, if you're using ba'arai, if the guy's house, who cares if it's kasherable or not? You can't kasher the things in the guy's house. You know, it's not yours. But okay. That is his big fish. Lechor, what does arai mean? Does keva mean? Lechor, arai doesn't mean you do it once in a while. Arai means you do it under unique circumstances. Horrif, I would say, you know what? Once every 3 weeks, I'm going to eat certainly much of my fleshic bowl. I think that would be the kind of keva that's awesome. But you're going to say, when I can't, don't have any milchik bowls, you know, when the milchik bowls are in the dishwasher, then I'll eat from the fleshic bowl. That would be barai. So I think arai doesn't mean once in a while. I think arai, the way the shaf says, but yeah, basically means under, you know, unique circumstances.
No one talked about Starbucks and washing the soap. How does this time with, I don't know, like, about whether a restaurant washes the soap.
No, so the whole hack about the Starbucks or the dishes become tray from the dishwasher is because you get hot food in Starbucks. That's why it's a problem. If it would be cold food in Starbucks, then who cares? Right? Don't you drink hot drinks in Starbucks? I think you go to Starbucks for hot drinks. That's my impression. Like, I've never actually gone to Starbucks myself.
Does it matter if they wash the soap? I once heard, like, a fun of my like, really, if you look at the research, like, no restaurants wash the soap, and then it should. That would be a problem with someone. I don't know. So do they need soap or
not? We'll get to it, but look, overall, it would be a problem if they didn't use soap. But we'll get to it. Okay. Okay, Sif Gil. Sartli Zahir. Let's go weiter. Sartli Zahir Shlo Yiga Basar Alechem. You have to be careful not to let your meat touch your bread. Because if your meat touches your bread, you're not letting the bread with cheese, because now we've got meat schmutz on it. You have to be careful not to let cheese touch your bread. Because if you did touch your bread, then it would be usher to eat with meat. Now, the Shach in Sivkat and Dalet makes a diuk here. He says, it doesn't say if your bread touches meat, it's fleishik, and if it touches cheese, it's milk. It says, you shouldn't do it in the first place. Why? Because you might forget, same as Sif Beis, right? Anything that you shouldn't get into a situation where you might forget, just like you shouldn't let your cheese touch your meat, even though it would be fine if you rinsed it, but you might forget. You shouldn't let your cheese touch your bread, even though it would be fine if you didn't eat it with meat, because you might forget. Okay, and that's how we pass. And basically, don't get your bread fleishik or milchik, because, I mean, that's common sense, because then you might forget and eat it with the wrong thing. The big deal in here Pesach Tshuva is, hold on, why can't you just wash the bread? I understand how lechatchila, don't let it happen. But the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is, it's aser to eat with gvina. Why didn't the Shulchan Aruch say it's aser to eat with gvina unless you wash it? So here we get to Machlokes Nachronim. Does washing help for bread? Does washing your bread help? Either way, the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch is not a problem. Whether washing helps or not, don't create this situation because you might mess up. But, says the Shach, below adacha, you might eat it without washing, but washing helps. Says the Shach, yes, washing helps. The Shach says you might eat it without washing. However, the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Brit Gadin, who quotes the Knesset Hagdola, who disagrees with the Shach and says, what do you mean? They don't say you might eat it without washing. So you might eat it. It sounds like washing doesn't help. So the Knesset Hagdola thinks that washing doesn't help, and the Prima Gadim agrees with it, makes a diuk. It's not such a great diuk because the Pesach Tshuva himself points out, says the Knesset Hagdola and the Prima Gadim, no. Okay. What does the Pesach Tshuva decide? He paskins, and this is what's assumed, that really washing does help for bread. However, he makes a chiluk, a very common sense chiluk based on something we'll see much, much later in, not much later, a little later in Siman Sadifov, that it depends. That washing only helps if something has a smooth surface. Let's say something is very porous, washing won't help, and that's a svara. Let's say my bread touches roast beef, and the bread is very porous. Like, then if I wash it, it won't get the gravy off the bread, it'll just drive the gravy into the bread. So says the Pesach Tshuva, in the end, what's the psak, and this is what we assume, the maisa says the Pesach Tshuva, it depends which part of the bread. Depends if we're dealing with the crust or the inside. The crust, washing helps. The crust is pretty hard. And so if the crust touches cheese or meat, washing will help. Still, don't let it happen in the first place, because you might forget to wash it. However, the inside of the bread washing doesn't help.
No, rather, you need what's called grinda, you need to scrape.
What if the white part of the bread touches cheese? Then washing's not going to help. Rather, you need to scrape off the outer surface of the bread, which touches the cheese, and then what's left will not be cheesy. Okay, that's just common sense. Let's go to Dalla then. Yes? The reason you can't make dairy bread is because you might eat it with meat. However, that is much more common, because this is just the zahiras that the Rishonim logically thought of. Dairy bread is a gzera that Chazal made, and the Chazal made gzera. We'll see, there's a whole simon about it, simon Sadi Zayin, that dairy bread is treif, because they were so worried you might eat it with meat. Okay, we'll get to why you might see some dairy bread in the supermarket, meaning kosher dairy bread in the supermarket, when we get to simon Sadi Zayin. Dalet. Boss of a chol of rotin. Until now, we've been talking about cold. Aleph, Beis, Gimel were cold. Dalet is already hot. Boss of a chol of rotin shin is arvu yachad. Right? If you mix together meat and milk and they're hot, then obviously they become treif. That's a belief. Hot things transfer the taste from one to the other. Vafila boser tzonin to chol of roteach, or chol of tzonin to boser roteach. Even if hot meat falls into cold milk or hot, no. Cold meat into hot milk, or cold milk into hot meat, meaning cold into hot. Then hakol aser, everything's aser shem datar gavar. This the machlok is Rav and Shmuel in Psachim. If you have hot on top of cold, is tatar gavar or is ilah gavar? Does the bottom win or does the top win? Rav says that the top wins. Shmuel says the bottom wins. And even though usually they look like Rav and Yisurim, but over here it's a price supporting Rav, a scun of the Gemara, it's a price supporting Shmuel, and the scun of the Gemara seems to support Shmuel. Therefore, we pass like Shmuel that Tatagah for the bottom one wins. What does it mean the bottom one wins? What that means, more or less, is Isaac, please. What that means is that if the bottom one's hot, it's Ke'ilu, it's all hot. And if the bottom one's cold, it's ke'ilu, it's all cold.
The process of them mixing is the process of cooling.
Aha, we'll get to that in a moment.
Rebbe is saying that the pshat is that it's all hot now?
No, I'm saying the pshat is that it's ke'ilu, it's all hot. Now, here, this was a bit of a machlokas. Let us... let me use this example here because we'll see this is something that trips up a lot of people in real life shilas and even more chomer on the chinus. That there are two different factors that limit whether there is a blia from, you know, whether blia is transferred, whether tam is transferred from one food to another food. One is the degree of heat. And two is the degree of liquidity. If that could be, is that used for actual liquids or just for bonds? And two is whether it's liquid and fat. Liquid and fat are one thing. So let's assume here we're talking about a liquid, right? Meat and milk, right? Milk is a liquid, last I checked. Meat and milk. So if you have, it actually doesn't matter which is which, hot, then it's all usher. That transfers the taste entirely. If you have cold, then all you need is hatacha that we learned about, right? The machlokas Rav and Shmuel is what if you have hot, cold, or cold, hot, right? So Shmuel says the top one wins, and Rav says the bottom one wins. We paskin tatacha gavar. And therefore, whatever's the bottom one sets the tone for everything. Therefore, what? Therefore, if you look in the Beis Yosef here, what if the bottom one is hot? That's the next one on our list. So he wonders whether we should really take it to its extreme. The Ra'ah writes, therefore, it's aser
Kidei Metiwa? No, it doesn't mean momish, it's as if it's all hot. It just means that the borderline between them, Kidei Metiwa, means a thumb's thickness, also called an etzba. How do we know that? It doesn't say they're anywhere in Shas, but that's your Shas. That, a netila. Netila means this thick. On the borderline, that's considered hot. Of course, this is hot, this is cold. The blee is not going to go through it, but a little through the netila. That's a shikas yachid. Now, all the Rishonim say that it's all entirely usher. Hata gavar means that the bottom one is hot. It's ke'ilo, it's all mamish hot. The whole thing becomes usher. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch just paskins. Bas b'chol ebrochin eshtar b'yachid. I'll read it again. Everything's asher to gavar. The ra'az das yachid. No one else agrees with them. How about in this case where it's cold on top of hot? You would think that it's all mutter because it's all considered cold. However, here the Gemara itself makes an exception. The Gemara says no, it's asher kidei klipa. What's a kidei klipa? Kidei klipa is nothing like a kidei netila. A kidei netila means a thickness. I don't know, what's an etzba? It's like 2 centimeters? Even if you're chayanonic? 2 centimeters. 2 centimeters is already that significant, right? Meaning, in a steak, that could be the whole steak is kidei netila, right? Kidei klipa just means this, a peel, the smallest peel. Like, just be very skillful and peel off the smallest peel you can. Right? The smallest peel you can peel off, that's kidei netila. That's kidei klipa. So that's very, very... Now again, whether you're skillful enough to know how to peel it very well and whether it's worth the effort is a different question, but in terms of food becoming treif, it's very, very little food becoming treif, just the outer peel. For example, what if you would have a... this is going to be a bit of a tricky example. Hot gravy, which you pour onto a bag of milk. You know the Israel bags of milk? So how much of the milk is treif? Hot gravy onto a cold bag of milk. None of the milk is treif, because only the klipa is treif, and that's the bag, and you weren't playing teeth in anyway. So that neck is the milk being entirely kosher, because it only asks to the klipa, and the klipa you're not eating anyway, so it's no big deal. Why is it asked to the klipa? After all, it's a taz gavar. The maker lay bala kede klipa. Well, it's makerle, it's more like they cleave. But what does makerle mean? The Tazir points out there to Pshatim. Rashi says, Mikarer. While it's cooling off, it's more like they cleave. Meaning, yes, it's still cold, but it takes a second to cool off, and during that second, it's more like they cleave. He quotes the Mordechai that not Miloshon Kar, but Miloshon Yakar. Right? Yakar meaning heavy. Right? Meaning, I know your car means expensive. The original meaning is heaven. And he says, machdim, right? Weighs on it. Meaning, the pressure of the weight causes a blia kidei klipa. Okay, I don't think the post-consumer enough. The mean is between this. Either way, it is bolei kidei klipa. And that's the next line in the Shulchan Aruch. Says avochol roteach shenafel abasser tzonein or basser roteach shenafel dochol tzonein chol tzonein. Doesn't matter which is meat, which is milk. I mean, if hot falls onto cold, kol efa basser shar basser motu. You just peel the outer layer of the meat, and the rest is fine. Okay, we're going to continue in a moment. That then we get to the machlokes between the re and the re, everyone in the riva. Okay, this is the basic rules. This is like Judaism, 101 of except for the ra. The ra is not Judaism 101. You know, no one knows that shita unless you learn it's Yosef. That's in the footnotes you're not responsible for. Judaism 101. That is the din of tata cover. Here, the
some of the modern-day poskim struggled to figure out why is Tata a gavar? Means, why should the Tata or the Allah gavar? What would you and I have said? We would have said, well, if hot falls into hot, then the whole thing is balea. If cold falls into cold, there's no plea at all. What if hot falls into cold or cold falls into hot? Then it's somewhere in between. I don't know. We'll figure it out somehow, right? Somewhere in between. We wouldn't have said, well, it depends which is on top, which is on the bottom. Both Rav and Shmuel thinks it depends which is on top, which is on the bottom. They just argue which way. So why should it make a difference which is on top, which is on the bottom? The Rav deals with that in his shiurim, and he says, anyone know what the Rav says? You all know what the Rav says.
He says it's very low.
No, I'm talking about I'm talking about Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, not Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. What does the Rav say? The Rav says, of course, this has nothing to do with the actual chemistry of what tastes like what. That's not the point, right? The Rav was quoted more than once as saying, until my grandfather, your idea was just pots and pans. What does the Rav mean by until my grandfather, your idea was just pots and pans? He means that once upon a time, people thought your idea was about what is likely to taste like what, and therefore is usher. Sounds commonsensical. But his grandfather revealed, I'll be the brisker derech, that no, it's all about what's a chalos of what. And there's nothing to do with what practically tastes like something. Or, now there's nothing to do. It's only usher if it tastes like it. But that's not what's important, because even if it tastes like it, it's only usher if it's a chalos. That's the Rav Yisod in Yoredeya, in Basar B'Chol of Taruvis. It's not usher if the meat tastes like milk, or the milk tastes like meat, or the beef tastes like ham, etc. It's usher if it is halos of transfer of taste, and it tastes like it. He admitted, halos will not usher without the actual physical taste, but the taste won't usher without the halos. So the Rav says, not every meat that tastes like milk is Basar B'Chol. Not every milk that tastes like meat is Basar B'Chol. Only if there's a chalos of transfer of taste. Not chalos of bishul. Bishul is daraisa. Chalos of cain bishul. That's expanded bishul that's drawn bottom considered a transfer of taste. And here, Rav and Shmuel argued, what is considered a chalos of cain bishul, of the derech of transferring taste, the derech of bishul? And Shmuel said, well, the chalos is if the hot thing is on top, because that's really what makes a chalos of, you know, his arvus. Because he thinks that's the normal way to be ma'ariv of taste, etc. And Shmuel says, no, what makes chalos his arvus is if the hot thing is on the bottom. And we pass like Rav, like Shmuel, sorry, that, forget the Rav and Shmuel, I'll get the top and bottom. I'll always get the top and bottom right, even if I get Rav and Shmuel. We pass like Shmuel that the halosis arvos comes from the bottom one being hot. Therefore, the bottom one is hot. That's halosis arvos. If the top one is hot, it's not a halosis arvos. And there's no difference in terms of physically. The difference just the halachic halos. That's the Rav's Yisod, which he got as a masorah for his grandfather. That's what he tells us. That until my grandfather, your idea was just pots and pans. Obviously, he doesn't mean until his grandfather did it, just pots and pans. It means your idea was always about the Halluyah Siddhant. It was always shot in the Rambam, the Gdoli Rishonim. But in the generations before his grandfather, they misunderstood and thought it was just about practical chemistry and estimating, you know, when a taste transfers and when it doesn't. Okay, for the Rav, then, we understand why it makes a difference what's on top, what's on the bottom, because that's the Halosis Arvus. However,
not really answering the question.
No, because the Rav would say it's only when it's the derech to be ma'ariv that way, and the Rav would say that the derech of preparing tafshilin is for it to have a hot thing on the bottom. Okay, fair enough. But at least it's impervious to practical attack. So says the Rav, it's a chalos his arvos. However, says everyone else, no, it is practical. Practically, if the hot thing is on the bottom, the tom of each thing goes into the other. And if the hot thing is on the top, the tom will not go into each other. Or to be more precise, if there's a hot thing on the bottom, the tom of the two things might mix into each other. And they'll both taste like both of them. If the hot thing's on the top, the tom of the two things will never mix into each other more than a kadei klipa. And even that, we'll see, might not be real. So here they struggle with, but why? Practically, should it make a difference of the hot things on the top, the hot things on the bottom? The only theory I've heard is, anyone want to give a theory based on your limited knowledge of science? Heat process. Right, the theory that the modern day Ephraim give may be because heat rises.
But that's actual lumpness then, because you're saying like, well, science only constant that heat rises, therefore it can't possibly go down, which is incorrect. Meaning if you have a hairdryer and you blow it down.
No, obviously, so you have to say
it's also the same as the rug, basically.
No, so you have to say because heat rises. And because there's a limit to the transfer of heat in such situations anyway, therefore, since heat rises, it's only going to be significantly transferred one way, not the other way. That's going to put it over the borderline. Okay, then, of course, you'll ask something else, which is, one question that people got to ask. That's why not just taste it? Right? Why not just get a guy to taste it and say, you know, my milk, hot milk fell in cold meat, or cold milk fell in hot meat. You taste the milk, see if it tastes like meat. Taste the meat, see if it tastes like milk. Kurt Sfarad would rely on Goyim. Kurt Ashkenazim, even they agree with the original halacha to rely on Goyim. So the Brit Goyim says, no. Obviously, if you want to get a guy to taste it, then you can see. The point is that if the bottom one is cold, we're so sure the taste didn't transfer that you don't have to do a taste test. If the bottom one is hot, then we're misopic that it could have transferred. Whenever we say the blia transfers, the taste transfers in your day of big yisod. Whenever in your day we say the taste transfers, we never mean it definitely transfers. We just mean it might. There's never halacha, or very rarely, where we say we know the taste of A went into B and the taste of B went into A. All the distinctions we're making throughout all of your day and all of practical halacha are not between a case when we're sure the meat tastes like milk and we're sure the meat doesn't taste like milk. It's being a case where we're sure the meat doesn't taste like milk, or it might taste like milk. If it might taste like milk, that's just as straight as if it does, right? So that's what the Prima Gunner says. The Prima Gunner says you can't do a taste. A taste test is not a substitute for the rules of Tan Kofar, because the whole point is that in this case, you don't have to do a taste test, because we're 100% sure of the Chabalas Chazal that the meat doesn't taste like milk, and milk doesn't taste like meat. In this case, I'll pick Chabalas Chazal, it might taste like milk, and then you would do a taste test. Let's remember Hilchas Shabbos. Right. Willig did sometimes point out some svaras to be machmir, but the standard Shabbos halacha books, and I wasn't clear really was saying lemaisa. Shmir Shabbos Kolchas, etc. What do the standard books say? Eri from a kli rishon onto cold food on Shabbos is asur because it will cook kedei klipa. Because Tatag Gavar will still cook Kedei Klipa. No one says, when I say no one says, I don't mean no Rishon. But no one says that it will cook the whole thing, which is why the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa and the standard halacha book say that you can pour water from a Kli Rishon onto a baby bottle because it will only cook the Kedei Klipa, and the Kedei Klipa is the bottle. Likewise, you could pour water from a Kli Rishon. Let's say you want the hot chocolate on Shabbos. You could pour water from a Kli Rishon onto a bag of chocolate milk, according to most poskim, because it will only cook the Kedei Klipa, and the Kedei Klipa is a bag. Yes?
What if it's the right thing to pour hot meat gravy on the cheese, even though it's the same thing like eating, but then using
artificial? So that is a big machlok Rishonim. We are choshish that it would be. Yes. We are choshish that it would be. Meaning, if it's bishul, then it's also the rice. Okay. But we'll come back to all these things, although the main sugya of these things in Kofei. Now, here you get into the Ar HaShulchan said something. Well, yeah.
Just to say, like, to try this whole thing differently, is the proof that I'm saying, like, we're so confident about the rugs, the halakha, and the gavar.
No, he says we're so confident. No, he says we're so confident with Metzias. Meaning, the rug and the prima gadim are on different sides of this. Let's say, hot fell into cold. Don't even bother to taste it. It's for sure mutter, except for the outer appeal. Why? The rug would say, because whether it tastes like meat and milk or not, it's mutter. It's not a kolos sarvus. Prima Gadim would say, because we know it can't taste that way.
How do we know it?
Because a couple of chazal, al tatal gavar.
So is that not the same thing as the rabbi?
No. He's saying we have a mesor what the metzias is. The Rebbe is saying we don't care what the Metzias is. Okay, now here the Aruch HaShulchan says something logical. Here it gets a little tricky because all the Achronim say it's practical, but the Aruch HaShulchan also says it's practical here. And what does he say? He says, therefore, it doesn't only depend what's on top, what's on the bottom. Someone tell me, anyone who knows a modicum of physics here, it's not even chemistry, it's physics. Tell me, if you put a hot thing on a cold thing or a cold thing on a hot thing, will they end up hot or they end up cold? What does that mostly depend on? How hot and how cold it is, but maybe even more so.
How much heat?
Yeah, the quantity. If I pour a gallon of hot liquid on a pea that's cold, then it will obviously all end up being hot. If I pour a gallon of cold liquid on a little, you know, piece of corn, not an ear, or a little pea, or a little green bean that's hot, then it will end up cold. It depends on the quantity, right? Remember in physics, right? You know, the mass times the delta of the temperature of the hot item is the same as the mass times the delta of the temperature of the cold item, etc. Right? So says the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, look, this is a practical thing, and obviously it depends which is bigger. And you know, maybe if he got a little more into the science, he would have said, and how hot it is, and how cold it is, etc. Says that's how governs just for borderline cases. If all else being equal, then the bottom heat rises. He doesn't say he rises. Then the bottom one will have more an effect than the top one. Okay, that's the Aruch HaShulchan. He says basically Tata Gavra is only if all else is equal, but otherwise figured out scientifically, you know, by the quantity. And he doesn't say, although maybe he would have agreed if we had sat down and convinced him and gone through the physics with him, and how hot and how cold, etc. That's the Aruch HaShulchan, which makes a lot of sense if it's practical, because after all, it really should depend on the quantity. Everyone knows if I pour a gallon of cold water on a broiling hot, you know, pea, everything will be cold because it's just not enough mass. However, the Achronim do not assume like the Aruch HaShulchan. So here it becomes a little tricky. Once you say it's practical, says the Aruch HaShulchan, he says it really depends on mass. And you wonder if, you know, perhaps maybe you could expand that. But all the poskims say, nope, it is a cross-the-board. So an across-the-board rule that tata govar. Okay, here it gets a little tricky scientifically. After all, why would it be an across-the-board rule that tata govar? Somehow, it's a bit of a tzarchion, you know, which is why we're tempted to say like the Rav, that is just halos. But halacha lemaisa, we don't say like the for the Rav. It's obviously across the board, right? Because it's about the halos. It's not about what actually is hot and what actually is cold. It's about the halos of his harvest. So really, if you want to say like the other achronim that it's a practical thing, you really should say like the Aruch HaShulchan. Lemaisa, we don't say like the Aruch HaShulchan. So either you have to say that it's practical, but just have to come up with an explanation. But I'm not sure why we don't say like the Aruch HaShulchan. Or you have to say like the Rav. But halacha l'maisa, we say it's across the board. Tata gavar. Across the board, tata gavar. Regardless of the relative temperature and mass of the two items, the bottom one wins somehow. Either it's a halos, or we have some masorah that I don't understand in modern day science, that within the way taste transfers, the bottom one sets the tone.
How about like a certain scenario, like let's say it's a really big piece of like a lot of liquid, then that little piece only gonna do immediately only part that falls on, you know? Does that make a difference?
No, obviously if something falls on only one part, then I'm not sure if that would make a difference. Let's say the bottom one's hot.
One pea, maybe only that little piece of milk that touches the pea is gonna be maybe even if it's practical.
I see what you're saying. I mean, at a certain point, you know, you might say, well, the other milk didn't even touch the pea. Okay, fair enough. You know, but nonetheless, it's still, you could have other examples which will be impervious to that. Okay, so that is the basic rule of Tata Gavar. Halacha l'maisa, we pass into Tata Gavar again. If the bottom one's usser, it's all usser. Hot, it's all usser. If the bottom one's cold, it's only usser. Big tikva. Where do we get a big controversy? The big controversy is, if I skip the Ramav for now, read the Machaber, Vacholo, Vacholo, Okay, well, the end of the Mechaber is Nafu Zeltos that Zonanim Madia Madia Chabasar Umutter. Okay, that we already know. If it's cold, you just need to rinse it. Why do you need to rinse the meat and not the milk? Because there is no such thing as rinsing milk. But if you could, you'd have to rinse it. Okay, but V'achol Umutter Kulo. This is the famous machlokas between the Riva and the many other Rishon. Here, what do we have here? We have cold basar and hot kolbas. So what's the status of each of these things? The cold basar is asar kedei klipa. What does it mean, asar kedei klipa? Easy, you peel off the peel and throw it in the garbage and eat the rest. But this hot kolbas theoretically should be asar kedei klipa. The only problem is, there is no such thing as asar kedei klipa. A kolbas doesn't have a klipa. You can't peel a liquid. So, what's pshat? What is the status of this chalav? Is the question. You can't peel the liquid. So this is machlokes between the Riva and many other Rishonim. Says the Riva, that you estimate a kedei klipa l'chora al pi math. The kedei klipa of the chalav should really be the same as the kedei klipa of the basar, let's say. Right? Because how much chalav hit the basar? Same amount as basar that hit the chalav. Okay, so you estimate a kedei klipa and say that it's all asar unless it is 60 times the kedei klipa. A virtual kedei klipa in there is asar, not virtual. An unidentified kedei klipa in there is asar. So then you estimate if the whole chalav is 60 times the kedei klipa. Actually, technically, the whole chalav is 61 times the kedei klipa. So there's a kedei klipa plus another 60, then it's all mutter. Bit of a shishin. If the whole rest of the chalav is only 59 times the kedei klipa, then it's all asar. However, says the Re and Rabbi Natan and some Tosin, Rabbi Natan and the Rambam, he just says Tobi mutter and others. But that's enough for now. He says, no, it's just mutter. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat the small stuff. Yeah, taco, when you take off a kedei klipa, that's one thing. Take off a kedei klipa on the meat. If the chalav is not shayach kedei klipa, if it's not shayach, since actual klipa is not shayach. Since the actual klipa is not shayach, therefore just don't worry about it. Okay, how do they understand the We and the Rabbi Tam and the Rambam, all the later Rishonim understand. You don't have to understand this way. They all understand what's as far as the Rishonim and Tam and the Rambam. Just because it's not Shayach de Klipa, why shouldn't the Kedei Klipa still be Usher? I know it's not Shayach to peel it, but still, it should be a little Usher to make it. It should still be Molea. The Riva seems right. So they say, what's as far as the Rishonim and Tam and the Rambam? That Kedei Klipa is not a real Leah. It's just a Chumra Bialma. Kedei Klipa is only a Chumra Lechachila. Remember we had this discussion in Adacha? It's only a chumra l'chatchila. Therefore, when you can do it, do it. When you can't do it, it's only a chumra l'chatchila. Don't worry about it. And that explains the Ramah that we skipped. We skipped a little Ramah who says, "When mokum shabasur tzar klipa im lo kilfuhu bishlo kacht, mutter b'di'evet." When you should have peeled the meat and you forgot to and you didn't, it's mutter b'di'evet. We don't say, well, it'll be usher if there isn't 60 times the klipa. Nah, klipa is only l'chatchila. B'di'evet, it's okay. What does he mean by that? What he means by that is, you know, if you put it through the grinder, made the chopped meat, made hamburgers, it's just mutter. And if you actually just cooked it, then obviously still peel it afterwards. But don't worry if the peel is more than a 60th, because it's only l'chachila. If you can, you peel it. If you can't, it's fine. So that's what the Rama is saying, that the klipa is only l'chachila. And therefore, it never makes your food treif. It's just if you can peel it, peel it. Yes. Say that again?
Why is this different?
Ah, you mean this?
Yeah.
Because when we talk about standard klipa works, but we forgot to ask ourselves yet, can you actually peel it? Meat, you can peel. So let me give you another example. Let's say hot cheese fell onto cold meat. That would be very simple. Peel off the top of the meat, peel off the bottom of the cheese, and you're good. Right? However, when hot milk falls onto cold meat, you can't peel milk.
Okay.
yes, this is what happened to the meat, this is what happened to the meat. This is what happened. Right? Let's just say better. Remove a cleaver. The meat, you remove a cleaver. Yeah, sorry. What happens to the meat? What happens to the milk? That's the arrow, sorry. Okay.
Sorry, where else do we see that?
Just here. I said, remember we saw that many Achron and Pasmet Hadocha was only the Chachil of Sevalif. But that's not the same as this. Here, it's a Chiddush right here. We see it from here. Here, all the Achronim is Gestira, right? The Taz has a very long Taz, Sivkat and Zion, and also a very long Shach in Sivkat and Ches. Taz is a little longer, but they're both long. Who ask a Stira? They ask a whole bunch of Stiras. What are the Stiras? The Stira is this. The idea of Isser Kidei Klipa. In Sadi Aleph Dalet, it is only a Chumra Lechatchila. Lechatchila, if you can peel it, peel it. As a Chumra. But Bidi Eved, it's not really truth. You know, don't worry about it. If you can do it, if not, it's fine. That's how we Paskin and Sadi Aleph Dalet, both Mechaber and Ramah. However, in many other places, the Shach points out, we paskin that klipa is usher even b'dieved, unless it's with shisha. What's an example? Samach tes sifkat sif tes zayin, or as they say yudvav. I'm still not sure why we say tes zayin, but they say yudvav. Yeah, but I mean, you need to fill in the details. In case, what if a kli became usher kidei klipa? How would a kli be usher kidei klipa? Because we learn malicha usher kidei klipa. So let's say you salt in a way that usher's the kli kidei klipa, right? So let's say you have a kli that the outer layer was made treif, and then you cook in that kli. Do we say, well, the outer layer of the kli is treif, the klipa of the kli is treif, but it's really just a chomer lechachila, like don't worry about it, you know, it's all fine. No, we say if you cook in that kli, you better measure your stew. If it's 60 times the klipa, then it's mutter. If it's 59 times the klipa, it's aser. So what do we see? We see in many places that it's oser even bidi eved ad samach. Ad samach is like the Yordale lingo for unless it's bottle 60 times its size. Oser ad shisha means that, you know, it's really an oser bidi eved if it's, unless it's bottle with shisha, it's oser. Where do we see this? We see this in, what did I just say, Samach Tes? Yudvav, correct. Where you were talking about someone who was a, well, in that case, that was a Kli. A Kli that was Nesar Kedei Klipa. Kedei Klipa. Or some of the other examples that Taz quotes, he quotes from Tzadi Aleph. Oh, that's the same thing. Tzadi Aleph, hey, later on we'll see, right? What do we say here? That if a piece of salty brine from salting drips onto a kli, it makes the kli treif, and it makes the kli treif to the klipa, and if you can't peel the kli, you have to throw it out. That also sounds like what do you mean you have to throw out the kli? What happened to only being a chumra lechatchila? So, or another example shot that Taz quotes is Tzadi Vav Sif Aleph. Here you get into a big machlokas, but he quotes the Rush in Kord Sugi of Kult Kord Shel Hiltis. Says Asher Kdei Klipa. Okay, that's the Rush in Kord Shel Hiltis. Okay. And, right, he quotes many other examples. Okay, the Kulei. Quotes a whole bunch of other examples. So here we have a Stira. How do we resolve this Stira? Okay, what does the Taz say to, quote-unquote, resolve this Stira? I'm not sure what you mean by that. Says the Taz, this just shows that Sadi Aleph Sif Dalet is wrong. That's the Taz's answer.
This is correct. This is incorrect. We must Paskin like the Riva. Okay. Arpsak here is incorrect. We have to hold like the Riva. And he quotes, it's not just him making up we should hold like the Riva. The Marshal holds like the Riva. The Maharai, that's the author of the Trum Zadeshin, Rishol Isserlin, and his Hagos on Shari Dura holds like the Riva. So few people hold like the Riva. Meaning, let's just make ourselves some space here. Who passes like the Riva? The Maharshal. The Maharai. Maharai stands for Yisrael Isserlin, even though the alpha before the unit is Yisrael Isserlin. And the Tas. All hold like the Riva. Who holds like the Riva? The Tam, the Machaber, the Ramah, the Shach, as we'll see, and most of the Achron. We Paskin like the, not like the Riva. But the Tas says we have to pass the Riva because it's a Stira. Now, of course, it's a little funny. It's still a steer in the Ramah. It's still a steer in the Isra Heter. He quotes, remember, discussing the Isra Heter. He just says, all these people were dumb. I mean, can't really be, right? Can't really be that, you know, they all didn't know how to think until the Taz came around. He can posk it differently, but he can't really accuse them all of being so themselves. So, it's hard to accept the Taz. What does the Shach say instead? What does the Shach say? What?
The cases are different.
Why is our case different than their case?
Can't see the milk.
Can't the milk not that you can't see the milk, but you can't see the klipa of the milk. Exactly. He says there's a difference between if you can see the klipa or you can't see the klipa. Says this is the case where you can't see the klipa. Like the milk. If you can't see the klipa, the Xerid button doesn't apply. These are all a case where you can see the klipa. That's the difference. In a case where a pot becomes also a klipa, you can see the outer klipa of the pot. And therefore, even B'dieved, that's also. He had, obviously also has sumas only grab on it. We don't write so what difference it makes if you can see it or not. Oh, if you can see the klipa, then the xera applies, and even Asher's ad shishim. I'll explain why in a moment. But if you can't see the klipa like the milk, then it never applies in the first place. He just has to be nidchak, the Ramah. What did the Ramah say? In a case where the meat needs peeling and you didn't peel the meat, it's much of a b'dieved. What do you mean? If the meat needs peeling and you didn't peel the meat, you can see the klipa of the meat. Why doesn't Asher b'dieved up to shishim times its own size? So he has to be nidchak in the Ramah to say, ah, the Ramah is where you pureed the meat. Which is a little dachuk. A little dachuk in the Ramah. But that's what he says. He says, oh, the Ramah only meant Dabar Hanivla Vaklipa Nisarva. Oh, maybe you don't have to puree the meat. Maybe it's enough to grind up the meat. But this is what's Dachuk. He has to make it Okinta in the Ramah. That the meat is not intact. He doesn't mean there's a piece of meat and you cooked it in B'dieved. Don't worry about this day Klipa. No, then B'dieved would asar up to 60 times its own size. He means if you purified or chopped, ground up the meat or somehow was mushed up the meat, literally nibble, if you mushed up the meat, then you don't have to worry about the klipa. Okay, that's a bit of a dachuk shot in the Ramah. But that's what he has no choice but to say.
It seems like he's saying, the meat is the top of the column, look where it's called up here. Maybe it's called like sequence of the meat.
No, what he means is just parallel. When there are multiples in the case of meat, he's trying to be parallel to the case of milk. Just like the case of milk was when it was not a solid piece. The case of meat is when it's not a solid piece. That's what he means by dumi. Dumi means there are multiples in parallel. There are multiples case of meat is parallel to the Mechaber's case of milk. Not that, not a smart, just a literary deal. Which is not terrible. Okay, that's the Shach. Lemaisa, the Taz is hard to believe because the Taz has the right to Paskin that way. But he can't say that the Isra Heter and the Ramah and everyone else just didn't know how to avoid contradicting themselves because they didn't know how to think. That's crazy. And the Shach, a lot of Rechonim say they don't love his Sfarah. Like either Rabbanim or Gozer, B'dieved or they weren't Gozer B'dieved. What difference does it make if you can see it? Like they know they're only Gozer if you can see it. And also he's to make this
Dochgo came to the Ramah. So there are two other options. One option is Rabbi Akiva ignored first. Well, he has two pieces. One starts with, I don't know, I mean, my edition is a little different than yours. One starts with Dimrasim with Makom, the other Dimrasim with Nira. So first he suggests, why do I say it first? Because he doesn't think this is shot in the Ramah and the Yisra Hedra. He doesn't think it's shot in the Yisra Hedra. But Rabbi Akiva Eger suggests that no, there's a difference between all these other cases we're talking about. Treif, right? Yes, sir. These were talking about treif. Our case is talking about basar b'chalav. What's the difference? The difference is, in treif food, if any taste of treif get mixed in with kosher, that's a chashto rice. So we're more machmir. If basar gets mixed in chalav through this kedei klipa, would you call that derech bishul? No, that's not derech bishul. Give me a break. I know that contradicts something I said a little while ago. That's not derech bishul. Come on, it's not derech bishul that you've hot into cold in a demekalei bolak de klipa. So the bas b'chalav is only drop on it. So therefore, bas b'chalav, since it's not derech bishul, it's only drop on it. We're more mekel, and it's only b'diavad, and we don't worry about the de klipa. We don't sweat the quantitatively small stuff. But in Isser Hector, treif food and ham and whatever, then even if it's not derech bishul, it's also derech bishul. So let's think about it. If hot milk fell on cold meat, it's only a chashto rabbanan anyway, because you didn't mind just cook them together. Therefore, we say, abadiyeva, don't worry about the klipa. But if hot milk fell on cold ham, that's a chashto rice that might have a taste of ham. A taste of ham is also whether it was derech this or derech that. And therefore, we're machmir. However, most achronim, almost all achronim, assume like the Magen Avraham, quoted in Rabbi Akiva Eger here, and also quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva. Sifkat and Hay, although he doesn't quote that it's a Magen Avraham, he just says, Ayin b'chuvas chuvas chuvas chayin, who I don't know who that is, Sheherach was that, et cetera, et cetera. You know, well, obviously, you look up the chuvas chayin, you'll see it's based on a famous Magen Avraham. But the Magen Avraham, Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes him, Uv Magen Avraham sifkat tuf samach zayin sifkat lam gimel, the Magen Avraham gives the answer that most poskim agree with. The Magen Avraham and most poskim, the Aruch HaShulchan, many others say like the Magen Avraham. What does the Magen Avraham say? He says, not all k'dei klipas are created equal. Says, some k'dei klipas are me'ikr hadin, aser, and some k'dei klipas are only a chumra l'chachila. It depends what kind of k'dei klipa. What do I mean about what kind of k'dei klipa? I don't mean, is it a cucumber or a tomato? I mean, there are different things that cause an isser k'dei klipa. For example, tell me based on the next se'if of Shulchan Aruch, what causes a bliya k'dei klipa? Salting. Malicha is also k'dei klipa. That's a me'ikar adin. This is malicha. That's oser k'dei klipa. Me'ikar hadin. And therefore, something that was usher k'dei klipa because of malicha, which is the case in these two Shulchan Aruchs. Something came usher through malicha k'dei klipa, that's a me'ikar hadin k'dei klipa. And if you now cook in that pot, you will need 60 to be mevatel that k'dei klipa or else your food is treif. That's a me'ikar hadin k'dei klipa. Then there are some k'dei klipas that are chomer b'yalma. What's the k'dei klipa that's a chomer b'yalma? That is son ha'kam l'tof tzonein. That's only a chomer b'yalma. That's only a chomer l'chachila. By the way, I don't mean that it's not me'ikar din l'chachila. It's me'ikar din l'chachila. It's only a chomer they made l'chachila. Meaning, among them makes the most sense. That's who all the achronim like him. It says, not all k'dei klipas are equal. If k'dei klipa got asered because of cham l'tok tzonei, that's only a chomer l'chachila. If the k'dei klipa got asered because of malicha, then that's me'ikar din. Then they add one thing, which explains all the other sugyas. There are some theories about hot onto cold. Or sometimes seems to be ulcer, sometimes to be mutter. Says, oh, there's two types of hot onto cold. Someone tell me what the two types of hot onto cold are halachically. Nifsa kakiluach lo nifsa kakiluach, says the, and that's what the Pesri Tshuva here quotes from the Tshuva Shechem. But it's based on that Magen Avraham. Says, no, there's two kinds of chamal tochtzonin, actually. One is me'ikra din, and one is a chomer bi'alma. There's nifsa kakiluach and lo nifsa kakiluach. Nifsa kakiluach means there was not an unbroken, that it was not an unbroken stream. Lo nifsa kakiluach means an unbroken stream. Right? Lo nifsa kakiluach is hotter. Here is your cold. And here is your hot. And there's an unbroken stream. That's hotter. That's lo nifsa kakiluach. After all, it's all still attached to the hot pot, to the kli rishon. That's me'ikra din. We're talking about here, nifsa kakiluach. What does nifsa kakiluach mean? Nifsa kakiluach means, you know, you have some drops that fall in, but there's not a stream which is coming from the kli rishon. Each drop gets cooled off a lot in the air on the way down. That's just a chumra bialma. And that, b'di'evit, is no problem. So let's add this. Or, what else is Eroi Shalom Nefsak HaKiluach. Eroi Shalom Nefsak HaKiluach. If you have an unbroken stream, that is a Me'ikra Din. An unbroken stream makes a Klippa Aser Me'ikra Din. It's still can a Klippa, but it's an Ikra Din to a Klippa. And now that kidney klipa will aser up to 60 times its own size. When we're talking here in our sif, we're talking about only if nifsak hakiluach. The classic case of datav gavar is if nifsak hakiluach. How do we know that? Because in the Gemara, in that sugya, the examples are all nifsak hakiluach. You might have said it's not significant, but it happens to be the examples are all nifsak. You know what nifsak hakiluach means? It's like when you're frying schnitzel and something spritzes, right? That nifsak hakiluach. It's very different. We all know the difference if you're frying schnitzel and a drop spritzes onto your cheese versus you take the frying pan of schnitzel and pour the oil down onto the cheese. Obviously, one is a lot hotter than the other. So that's how we pass in, like the Magen Avraham, that the chamal tochtzonin nifsak hakiluach, that's only a chumra bi'alma. And therefore, you should peel it if you can. And if you can't peel it, it's fine. No big deal. However, the melicha that asers today klipa, or the irud shalom if sakakiluach that asers today klipa, we pasket. That's me'ikra din today klipa. And if you can't peel it, the peel is still aser. Is still aser. And if it's more than a 60th, everything's aser. If it's less than a 60th, then it's batal b'shishim. We pasket like that. Magen Avraham says that Shuas Kain, he's a little more machmir. He says, well, I'm sort of mitzari 3 and 4. And like, I'll rely on the Magen Avraham in Bas Bechalav, because then I have 3 and 4 together. But if it's other Yisurim, I'll only rely on the Magen Avraham for half of Meruba. The Aruch HaShulchan says, well, I have a Havimina say like number 3. But in the end, it's just really, it just depends on number 4. And he's making across the board if it's Nifsak HaKiluach. So the Maisa, I think there's a lot of room to be making on Nifsak HaKiluach, maybe even a little more than the Tshuva Shechem. Because most Achronim like shot number 4, which is the Magen Avraham. It really explains everything nicely. Okay, that so much for Sif Dalet. We will talk a little more about Eroi in Siman Kuf Hei as well. But okay, this is a good, this is the basics. Then we'll just get into more details. Yes? Salting? Well, salting by Bas B'chalav is only Drabbanan, right? But salting by, but it's still a Drabbanan Ikra Din. And by Yisur, if you salt ham with beef, that's the rice. So yeah, I don't think that impacts it. Nah, that's between 3 and 4. 3 might, but not according to 4. Okay, now we're ready to go on to hay. I will call on Isaac to do his duty. Hay talks about Malichan. What does the Gemara say?
The Gemara says, oh, well, I find myself to be handy dandy Masechta Chulin. Not my handwriting, I'll tell you that much.
Says the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, not the only place. Says the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Zayin in a base. Meliach areyu karoteach, kavush areyu kimavushal. Salting is like broiling, and kavush, perhaps pickling, we'll see what it means, in kofe, is like cooking. Okay, there's clearly a difference here. Meliach is like roteach, not like mevushal, but kavush is like mevushal. What is the difference? The difference is that kavush and mevushal make the blia go through the entire piece. Meliach and roteach only make the blia go through the outer layer. Now, that has nothing to do with Sif Dalid. As a matter of fact, one of the Magen Avraham presented in the Sif Dalid. Sif Dalid was the really blia didn't go through at all. The klipa was just a chomer b'yalma. Meliach really makes it go through klipa. That's what I said. There's always two bottlenecks, two factors that determine how far the blia goes through. One is how hot is it? Actually, I take this back. Second, no, I take it back. I didn't mean to analyze it that way. Okay, the meliach is not hot at all, but it's salty. So we say, well, meliach is not hot, but it is salty, and therefore it will make the blia only go through a kedei klipa. Now, here I already made an assumption, so let me put this assumption on the board. The rub had a hakira he liked to make about the rule of meliach karoteach. That hakira is, it really seemed to be in the Rishon. Let's see this hakira. Meliach karoteach. Okay, anyone tell me which letter on the board yeshivish people would make a hakira out of? Exactly. Right. Meliach kiroteach, does that mean it is similar in its effect, or does that mean it is mamish the same? Right? The way the Rishonim say this, this hakir is really Rishonim, is when we say meliach kiroteach, do we mean that salt is hot? After all, if you salt things, they do become hotter, right? Right. Everyone knows that you don't have to apply heat to something to make it hotter. You could just make a chemical process to make it hotter. How do you know that chemical process can make cold things hot? What? Without a fire? Either from the, let's say, salting. Oh, well, that's not so much that it makes it hotter, but I would say you should have said one of two things. Either you should have said, if you are more yeshivish because of the fourth parak of the Sechah Shabbos, but me'tomim, right? If you're toming in certain things, then it's most of hevel, right? It creates heat. Or if you're a little more modern, you would say, because I've seen it with my own eyes. You ever see a compost heap? Right? It's burning hot, right? Or for that matter, you ever see, I don't know how, what they call these things in English. You know those meals that like you rip the bag and then the liquid goes in and it makes it hot? What do you call those? You know what I mean? Yeah. You like a mind to chemicals, it makes heat. Okay, so is it that?
Hand warmers.
Is that what hand warmers are? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm old-fashioned. My hand warmers are called pockets. It really works. It works just as well as your kind of hand warmers until the first time I try your kind. So I clearly have the advantage. Now, is it chamimas? Is it really the salting heats it up? Or is it, let me quote you, a Rashba from our Beis Yosef that you all read right here, says the Rashba in Siman Sadi Aleph. Oh, if I can find it. And there's a lot of Rashbas here. And give me half a second to look for it. I thought I knew where it was. If not, I'll quote a Baal Peh, and you'll have to believe me or look for it yourself. Here we are. Says the Rashba, according to Beis Yosef here, Yesh lomer de melech emav liya becholmo. It's not the heat of the salt. Ela becharifuso. But the harifas of the salt. No, it's not that the salt is hot and therefore it's mamish grotech. That is harifas and has similar effects. Right? Says the Rashba. Lo becholmo. Ela becharifuso. Who says that it is the heat? That's not in the Shulchan Aruch, but if you would look on the side of the Torah Habayis, in the Ra'ah, what would we call that book? The Berek Habayis. The Ra'ah in the Berek Habayis says, no, it's Bechamimos. Okay, that's not in the Beis Yosef, but you can look it up, and you will find it there. And the Rav says, what's the Nafkamina? Well, the most obvious Nafkamina is, I mean, this, you don't have to do the Rav to figure this one out. You just have to look up the rod. You have to look up the rod of the medical bias. But, you know, the at the very beginning of this if in the Beis Yosef says, he says a few things. Ella, and only answers is Kadei Klipa. Who says Kadei Klipa? Kachela Rush. Uchim Duma, that's what the Marmari Rubenberg says. And that's the Rashva's opinion, and the Ran's opinion. Shalo Kedas, dot, dot, dot. The gam lo kadas hara'ah the matzrich netilas makom. Okay, unlike the Ramban and the Rambam, says it answers the whole thing, which is clearly not so pashut because they can't because mleach is groteach and kavish is kavushal. So really, the Beis Yosef is not getting to details. They mean it depends on the circumstance. There's different cases, etc. Let's not get into that yet. But not like the Rambam who says kadei netila, right? Lokadas or the matzrich netila smokum says you have to take off the place. That's what we call kedei netila. So that's the obvious nafkamina. Sli asur kedei netila. How do we know that? Okay, seems that way from the Gemara in the sugya. One line in that sugya pesachim with the tanakh. So what's an nafkamina? How much does an asur? The Ra'ah says kedei netila. And the Rashba says, Kedei Klipa. Why is this a good nafkamina of the Rav's Chakira? Because you need some background, which is that Sli asers Kedei Netila. Right? Okay, that is a pretty, that's pretty mukhrif nafkamina of the Rav's Mahalach. Yeah.
But it's not like Tzli, it's like broiling.
Tzli is broiling.
So what's the word like, it's not Tzli.
It's its own thing that's a little like Tzli. It's not equivalent, that's the point. It's not equivalent. It's just similar to. Why is it similar to? Meaning, what do the Rashi say? Maliach Kotet, it's similar to Tzli in that they both asser a layer. Of course, it's broiling asser is a thick layer, and this asser is a thin layer, but it's similar. Ross says, no, it is a precisely, it is equivalent, not similar. Puff means equivalent, not similar. Right? It is equivalent to Tzli. And why? Because it's also a matter of heat. Okay, you could just make it like you're a kafa dimayon or kafa hashva'ah. One afkamina is chom versus tarifa, second afkamina is netila versus klip, if you wished. Because theoretically you could say, even if they're both chom or both tarifas, you could solve this hakira. Okay. Some other nafkaminas will come up. One nafkamina will come up at Simon Kofhei. The Gemara says Mefurish, I know, according to Gemaras, that we haven't seen it. Because here I'll point out something that's a little, you know, practically challenging. A lot of these halachas of Simon Sadi Aleph also appear in Simon Kofhei. Sadi Aleph is meat mixing with milk. Simon Kofhei is treif mixing with kosher. And here the Mechaber did not, like, do the conceptual thing. He didn't say, let me discuss the concept of Maliach Kroteach, the concept of Kovash Mavashal, the concept of, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He just says, let me stick in some things in Helchas Basar B'Cholov when they're based on Gemaras, which we're talking about meat and milk, and other things in Helchas Taruvos when they're based on Gemaras that we're talking about treif and kosher, even though conceptually, like all laws of Maliach, all rules of Maliach Kroteach are the same, whether it's Basar B'Cholov, whether it's Isser Hatter. So it's going to be a little tricky, like half the principles of Maliach Kroteach are here and half are in Simon Kofhei. For, you know, non-substantive reasons. But machlok, that'll come up some kafei, is the Gemara says mefurish, that when it comes to tzli, if it's shamein, if it's fat, then the bli'ah will go through the whole thing, more than kedina tila. How about when it comes to tzli? If tzli is fat, will the bli'ah go through the whole thing? Interesting question. The Gemara never says. It only says by tzli. So that could be another half kedina. Of what about shamein? So if you said it was really the exact same as roteach, then you would say that it's osur kulo, which the opinion of many rishonim in quotes rishonim in Simon Kofei. I mean, rishonim are not in Simon Kofei, but you know what I mean. Then you would say, no, only kedei klipa. Right? Because, and this is exactly the thing, do we take what the Gemara says about sleep, or what the Posuk say about sleep applied here, or not? If you say it's mamish kiroteach, just like roteach, well, when it is shamein, it asers further than when it's not shamein. Likewise, maliach, when it's shamein, asers further than when it's not shamein. If you say that it is just a vague similarity, I don't know, fattiness has an effect on broiling. Why should fattiness have an effect on salting? The Rav points out some other nafkaminas. Another nafkamin that will come up here is, does the rule of tata agavar apply? Again, all these nafkaminas are not like, you don't have to get into the deep conceptual mechanisms. It's just like, do you apply the same rule similarly that you apply to roteach or not? We know when it comes to reticha, heat, we apply the rule of tata agavar. Sorry. And this would be clearly yes, right? The same rule would apply. But if you said no, it's a totally different principle, then maybe no. Maybe the same rule would not apply. Isaac is saying that's discussed in this machaber, right? But it's machlokas rishonim. This is also discussed in the Rambam here.
Yeah. Isn't the Rambam going to hold it?
Isn't the Rashba the one who holds that? Where do you see that? The Rashba Taka is the one that holds that Tata Gavar does apply. And Tosos and the Rush, I think, are the ones who hold it. So Rash holds it.
I'll take that.
Yeah, that's
fine. Sorry, I wouldn't learn it from Rash.
Yeah. You say, right, exactly. You're a Smith's Kasha.
Yes.
So, what Isaac is pointing out is that the Rashba himself is a little inconsistent, and that's because, you know, these nafkaminas are not mochach. Why? Because even if it's similar, it could still have some things the same and some things different. Right? So really, but I say if it's equivalent, it has to be equivalent. If it's not equivalent, right, then it still doesn't. You can still say some of the same principles apply. Although it is, you know, it is a good conceptual kasha on the Rav. But it's beforeh in the Rashba. The Rashba says, lo mishum chomo, ele mishum harifuso. Right? So if it's because of harifas, then why should tata gavar apply? If it's because of harifas, after all, it has nothing to do with heat rising, etc., etc.
According to the Rav,
it would work much better. Correct. All right, the Rav has no problem with that. Even without the Rav, you wonder, why would the Rashba apply to the Gavar if the Rashba says it's because of Harifus? He must obviously have some other story of the Tagavar.
I think the Shach explains it like the Rashba really means, the Tagavar really means the Gavar. He says that.
That's not true. The Machaber didn't really mean it, the Rashba did. Yeah. Okay. He has one other Nafmin as well, which I will. We'll see in a moment. What's the machlokes of Machaber and Ramah here? that we're about to see. I know we haven't properly seen it yet, but is Maliach like Roteach when you're first salting it, or only after it's been salted for a while, or both? Right? That's called Shir Maliach. What does Shir Maliach means? If you want to salt meat, right, to make it kosher, to a kosher meat, anyone know how long you have to salt it for? Okay, what you said is true. You are absolutely correct. So we pass in the chachilish salted for an hour. You know, b'shas adchak b'diavad, 18 minutes is enough. I actually once got that shaila. Someone called me. They said, "I'm outside my dorm, salting a piece of meat on the ground. You know, so I don't make a mess in my dorm." And it's really, really cold, and I'm freezing. And none of my friends are here. And I can't go back into the dorm to get a coat because there's a cat eyeing this piece of meat. And if I turn my back, it's gone. So what should I do?
That's it.
What?
Where did he get
the meat? He shifted it.
In the dorm.
What?
This
is in Gush. When I taught MTA, I also had a Talmud who used to shechti with salt meat in his MTA dorm room. You know, every dorm room has a desk. You have to salt meat in someplace slanted so the blood drains, or someplace with holes. So he just took the desk, put books under one side of, you know, one side of the legs of the desk, so it was slanted and salted his chickens there. I'm pretty sure that's got to be against some sort of rule. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's got to be against multiple levels. But in any case, Halavai, that was the worst problem with
Doris. Can I say that?
Yeah. Anyway, Kitzer, so I thought about that case, and I said, how long has it been there? He said, oh, about half an hour. So I said, fine, you can just take it and go inside, because Shas HaTak, you can rely on 18 minutes. And what are you going to do? I don't want you to freeze and get sick. So, okay, it's the only time I ever pass about 18 minutes. But 18 minutes, we assume, the mill. Right, assuming a meal is 18 minutes, standard mainstream halacha, is the Shir Malicha. So what does the Mechaber say? We'll see. The Mechaber says it's only Roteach after the Shir Malicha. And the Rama says, Adrabah, it's really only Roteach before the Shir Malicha. Okay, more or less. So the Rav wants to say maybe this also. This, I think, is not so much. When is Maliach Roteach? He wanted to say, if the point is the harifus of the salt, then the salt uses up its harifus after 18 minutes. But if the point is the hamimus of the salt, it's not the salt that's hot. The salt makes the meat hot. It takes time for the meat to get hot. After all, if you're putting your meat on the stove, doesn't it take time to get hot? If you put it in the oven, doesn't it take time to get hot? So if you put it in the salt, it should also take time to get hot. Okay, this is not so much. But you want to say, if it's a matter of heat, then you would say, like the Machaber, after 18 minutes, then it's really hot. If it's a matter of harifos, then you say, like the Ramah, no, before 18 minutes, it's really harif. Before the salt really gets used up and loses its harifus. Okay, lemaisa, what are we really passing? We really passing some sort of a hodgepodge here. Why are we passing some sort of a hodgepodge? Because, as Isaac pointed out, you know, we passing someone in between. You know, it's not mamish maliach roteach. It's just similar, but you know, it's not only similar in one way that asur is a layer. It's similar in partial ways. It's halfway. You know, it's similar. And that's half the attributes. So lemaisa we paskin dekidei klipa, and we paskin that. I mean, sometimes we paskin like everything is still stakos, a lot of these things, but we paskin normally that asur is kulo. Here, it depends if you're Ashkenazic or Sephardic, but at the very least, Ashkenazic paskin this rule does not apply. Here, we paskin a little bit in between. We really paskin. We paskin more like the Ramah, perhaps, than the Machaber. More like the Ramah than the Machaber. Tilda means approximately, right? Does Tilda mean approximately to most people or only to like scientists.
Tilda.
Tilda. This. That's what the six. This. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So you see how we pass him. You know, in one way we end up the you know comparing it. But mostly we paskin that it's a kafa di mayon, it's just a similarity. Okay, now let's get into the nitty-gritty of halacha as far as we're going to be able to get for today. The Gemara says something important about Maliach. The Gemara says Malicha is only karoteach if it is how salted? How much salt do you need? How much salt do you need? What? No, what does the Gemara say? Or rather, you mean Eino Nechol Machamai Nochol, right? Or we say Machmas, but it's really Mechamat. It's not. It's really a Patach under the Chet. The if it's Eino Nechol Machamai Nochol, if it's edible with the salt, that's not Liach Proteach. If it's Eino Nechol Machamai Nochol, inedible, meaning otherwise it's ridiculous, right? Every time you put salt in your food, that's Liach Proteach. No, that's crazy. That's not the chemical process of salting. Liach Proteach means the chemical process of salting. Anyone ever see the chemical process of salting? Well, if you see salting, I know, we never salted meat at home, right? If you see salting meat, it's a real chemical process. It's not just meat. You can salt anything. You ever, some people salt cabbage when they make coleslaw. Anyone's mother or wife or father or brother or anything else ever salt cabbage, right? They what do they call it? They call it sweating it, right? It's not just blood that comes out when you salt things. All liquids come out, right? So it's a chemical process when you salt things. Yeah. Now, you don't use very thin salt. You might be able to use any salt, but really thicker salt is better for these things. It's called kosher salt in America. I think they still call it kosher salt in America, even though no one salts at home anymore. It just means thick crystals. And in Israel, it's called melach bishul. Melach shulchan is thin pieces for your table. Melach bishul is thick pieces, because apparently when you're cooking, it's better for the recipe to use thick pieces of salt, which is the same. That's the same as kosher salt in America. When I was a little kid, in my grandmother's house, she had a box of kosher salt on the counter. And I always wondered, what was trace salt? Like, why do you need kosher salt? Like, my grandmother, I mean, she was a very, very good Jew, but she wasn't such a machmer. Only when I was much older did I realize that kosher salt didn't mean it was kosher, but meant that it was for kashering. And my grandmother, because when she grew up, of course, she had kosher salt. She kashered at home, so she still had it on her counter, even though it had been decades since she kashered. I mean, she couldn't find anything to kasher at home anymore. By then, all the butchers sold it pre-kashered. Like nowadays in America, all butchers sell pre-kashered, and even in Israel, almost all butchers sell pre-kashered. Right? You know, in Israel, it's becoming very rare to find uncastered meat that you have to kasher at home. Okay, fine. So, Eino Nechol Machmas Nochol. No, it has to be so salty that you can't eat it. Here we have a machlokes. How salty is so salty that you can't eat it? What are the two shitas called? No. No, it's the machlokes rishonim. Right, or it means a derech, malicha le derech, or orcha, or malicha le kedera. As opposed to, what's the kind of malicha that's for sure edible and not karoteach? Al pi ikradin, maliach le, but just a chumra derma, maliach le tzli. Right? So we say, no. Maliach le tzli, what does it mean maliach le tzli? Like when you salt meat for broiling it. Why do you salt meat for broiling it? Okay, Ashkenazim or Machri, that maybe it's a din that when you broil meat, you have to salt it a little to get the blood out. Me'ikra din, we assume, no, just for taste when they broiled meat. Again, I don't mean we buy our meat in the grocer. We buy our meat in the butcher. It's already salted to remove the blood, so we broil it. Imagine if you bought meat that wasn't yet salted to remove the tam. So when you broil it, it removes the tam. But it's still going to taste bland if you don't salt it, so then it's salted a little when they broiled it. That's malicha litzli. Right? Again, if you broil, you don't have to salt it. Right? You can just shecht it, put it straight on the barbecue. But you put a little salt just to give it a little flavor. Right? That's malicha litzli. No, that's definitely nechol machas milcho. That's not a candidate. What are the two candidates? The two candidates are malicha. Malicha lekedera. What does Malik Kadera? What does Kadera mean? Please don't tell me pot. Cooking. What do we mean by salting for cooking? What do we mean by salting for cooking? In one English word translates salting for cooking? What? Kashering. Because when you broil, broiling gets out the dam, it drips onto the coals, and it's kashered. When you cook, if there would be blood in it, the blood would sit in the pot if it's doing its own blood and become treif. So if you want to make a barbecue, you don't have to kasher your meat first. If you want to cook your meat in a pot, you have to kasher it first, otherwise the pot will be full of blood. So malich l'kedera means what we call kashering. To kasher, you have to put a lot of salt, right? Because you have to make sure to get the blood out. You have to totally coat it in salt. You have to encrust it in salt. So, whose shita is this that malich l'kedera is called Eino Necho Machmas Milcho? Rabbeinu Tam and Rav Rishonim. However, what's Rashi shita? Malicha, I'll bring in Hebrew, Lederech. What does Malicha Lederech mean? Why would you need to salt more for the Derech than for the Kedera? What does it mean, Malicha Lederech? What? You're going on a trip. When you're going on a trip, what kind of meat do you need to bring? Beef jerky, right? Not what they sell as beef jerky nowadays, like real beef jerky, right? Meaning you salt it so much that it can't spoil anymore, that it's preservative. You salt it so much you can take it on the road in the sun and the whatever for a month and it won't spoil. That's not Malicha Lederech. Malicha Lederech is what we buy in the butcher. If you take what we buy in the butcher out of the fridge for a few days, it will be rancid. But real beef jerky is salted so much that you can take it on the derech, right? So this is, I don't even know what the word for it, you know. I think that's what beef jerky is, right?
Yeah.
There's probably a word for how you make beef jerky. You don't jerk it.
They call it drying.
What?
They call it drying.
Yeah, you have to dry it out, of course. How do you preserve it? By taking out all the moisture. Think about it. You salt it a little, it gets taste. You salt it a little more, it literally dare, all the blood comes out. You salt it a little more, all the everything comes out. And there's no liquid left. If there's no liquid left, everything lasts forever if it's dry, right? No dry things spoil. I don't mean no solid things spoil. I mean, if they were really dried, nothing would spoil if it was really dried. So this is drying. Good, drying it out, preserving. This is the shita of Rashi. And there's a quote from Bali Tolstoy I never heard of. Other than this, or at least not many times, named Rav Yaakov Yisrael. Who knew there were Bali Tosfos with two names? Did you ever know that? Okay. You don't see a lot of Rishonim with two names, do you? Two first names. This type was not a Rishonim.
I know, I did think. Yeah. We were learning
Anyway, no, nowadays everyone has two names, but in the days of Rishonim, I didn't hear a lot of Rishonim with two names, right? The Richvid doesn't count. Yom Tov's one.
Yeah, that's like last name.
What?
Yeah,
they didn't have last names. Rav Leitz was his town. Rav Yaakov Yisrael was now from Israel. Anyway, Rashi and Rav Yaakov Yisrael, who was one of the Bali Tosfos. Okay. Now, what's the machlokes? The machlokes is, what's the linguistic machlokes? What does it mean, Eino Necho Machmas Milcho? It's not edible because of its salt. What do you mean because of its salt? Says, not Malich L'Sli. Malich L'Sli is edible with the salt. The salt is only for flavor. Again, I'm assuming the Ikra did. Give me a second. That's not true. How did they eat? Again, they probably sell something called beef jerky nowadays to cool. It's like licorice. Oh, we have to like chew it a lot, etc. And that's not the real beef jerky. You couldn't eat. It was hard as wood. So, what does it mean, Eino Necho Machmas Milcho? The machlokas here is, what do we mean by Eino Necho Machmas Milcho? Eino Necho until you rinse off the salt. That is Malicha L'Kedera. Malicha L'Kedera, not Malicha L'Tzli. Malicha L'Tzli is delicious. You put in salt and it has flavor. Malicha L'Kedera, it's encrusted in salt. It's disgusting. You can't eat it until you remove the salt. You have to rinse off the salt, or at least wipe off the salt, etc. Eino Necho until you remove the salt. That's most Rishonim. Rash says, no. Eino Necho Milcho doesn't mean you can't eat it until you remove the salt. That's Eino Necho Bin Milcho. In Nechamachla's milk, even if you remove the salt, you can't eat it. Even if you remove the salt, you can't eat it. How did they eat this preserved meat in the old days on the way? Or at least soak it. They would have to rehydrate it. Meaning machmas, not because there's salt on it. Because of the salt inside it, you can't eat it until you soak it. It's not enough to remove the salt. That's machlokes. What does Ein Nechamachas Milcha mean? Only if, even if you clean off the surface, you still can't eat it? That's Rashi. Or no, as long as you can't eat it with the salt. Obviously, you see how Rain of Time is the bigger chumra. Even if it's only the regular kashering, that's Kroteach. Rashi is a kula. No, all regular kashering is not Kroteach. Kroteach is only when you're preserving it. Okay, how do we paskin? Let us look at the Mechaber, who's based on the Ran. Meliach she'enu yochel le'ochel machmas milcho. Dahainu ke'en meliach she'mochen lekdera. V'shah ke'en meliach lekdera. We'll come back to those words. Kol's man shlo yidicho, until you rinse off the salt. Mikrein u'necha machmas milcho. He paskins like the other Rishonim, like Rav Tam and Rav Rishonim. But skipping the Ramah and continuing in the Mechaber. U'meliach ke'en meliach deboy le'lo orcha. But maliach, like when you need it for the road, afila asher dicho, even after you rinse it off, having ino nechamach milcho is called, it's not edible because of the salt. Kol zman shlo shiro b'mai, until you soak it, dino k'roteach, it's considered like roteach, lesser k'dei klipa. How do we paskin? This is the Mechaber and the Ran. We paskin like both. Because each one has a chumra. The chumra of being time is, even if it's just regular kashrim, it's roteach. The chumra of Rashi is that, if it's being preserved, then even after you remove the salt, it's still kroteach until you soak it. Okay, so we have, we paskin like the chumras of both of them. Mainly, Rav Tam is more chumra, but Rashi also has a chumra. Rashi's chumra is that, even if there's you don't see any salt, it's still kroteach until you soak it. That's the chumra of Rashi. Rav Tam's chumra is that even normal kashering is kroteach. While according to Rashi, normal life for people who stay home is never kroteach. Okay, there is a lot more to say, but let's just do one Ramah. And I'm going to go a little out of order, just so I want to finish this Indian, because the hour is already super late. So skip to the second half of the first Ramah, where there's a ches of the gra. Do you guys have a ches of brackets for the gra?
Yes.
Even if it's only salted on one side, not both sides. Again, in the factories, when they kasher, you have to salt on all sides. But even if it's only on one side, that's still kroteach. But if it's not salted enough for kdeira, it's still considered cold. Even two sides. If it's only a little salt, then that is considered cold. V'yesh omrim, this is classic Ramah. We'll see this Ramah again and again in every detail in all of your day. V'yesh omrim de'anan ein b'kiyim b'dover. The generations before the Ramah came up with the Mahalach and Halacha. We're not b'kiyim in Hagdoros. What's Nechamach of Milcha? What is it? It's not so hard to be b'kiyim. Just ask the rabbi who taught you how to salt meat. What's Malicha Lichdeira? But no, maybe we're not Bekiyim. We don't know. You know, maybe we were Machmir in the factories and they salt. We don't really know what's called Malicha Lichdeira. We're not Bekiyim. The Yeshal and Lachashim of Filu Malicha Sli Kiroteach Vatov Lahachber Malkam Shein Hefzim Meruv. Says Yesh Omer that we Ashkenazim, we're not Bekiyim in anything anymore. We don't know what's a lot of salt, what's a little salt. Therefore, even if it looks like Malicha Lichdeira to us, maybe it's really Malicha Lichdeira and we're just not experts. So therefore, says Ashkenazim are machmir if there's no hefsid baruba. Not because we think malicha litzli is kiroteach. No, that's impossible. Because we think that what we call malicha litzli might really be malicha litzdeira because we're not the key. Because maybe it's really Malicha Lekdeira. Ah, to us it looks like Malicha Litzli, but maybe it's really Malicha Lekdeira. Meaning, what does this mean? Anything that's salted, not the normal spicing food adding salt, but anything that you're salting in a serious way that's beyond the bounds of normal food preparation, Malicha Litzli, we're not Bekiyim, maybe that's what was really should be called Malicha Lekdeira. Maybe that's what Chazal meant by Malicha Lekdeira. Maybe that's what Bein Tam meant by Malicha Lekdeira. And if there's no Hefzer Ruba, we're Machmer. So Ashkenazim are machmer at any unusual salting, any extraordinary salting, that maybe it's called Malicha L'Kedera. Well, Sfarim say, no, only if it's Malicha L'Kedera, like it says in Hilchot Malicha, according to all the rules where you're totally encrusted in salt. Kibbutz Ashkenazim, even if you don't encrust it in salt, but if you put a lot of patches of salt, then we're machmer, maybe that's really Malicha L'Kedera, and if there's no Hefzer Meruba, we call that Maliach Krotech. Okay, that is Minig Ashkenaz. We'll see again and again the mantra of the Ramban Yoreh Deh is Einanu B'Kiyum. Bein Hilchos Shechita, Bein Hilchos Treifos, Bein Hilchos Bas B'Chala, Bein Hilchos Malicha, Bein Hilchos Arus, etc. The mantra of the Ramban is Einanu B'Kiyum, and the Mechaber never heard of such a thing in his life. Okay, we'll have to continue with the rest of the details of this Sif, Amir Tzashem, on Tuesday. Isaac, you'll get the last board. Anyone has any questions, please.
For a minute,
feel free to ask.
I'd say Mahalas, like, you know, he also appears to need a call of time. Oh, we don't know.